I was thinking, Brother McCann has heard those words. Amen. What a blessing. I tell you, I was thinking about this as they were singing. I just believe that music ought to be lifting and magnifying the Lord Jesus. And if you're not careful, you think, well, this song's about me. I want to hear well done. Well done. And honestly, anybody that truly wants to hear it for the right reason, it's not because of us. It's because of Him. We want to hear Him say well done because we've served Him. It's about Him. And so I thank the Lord for that. Thank you, young ladies, for singing that. That was excellent. We're in 1 Kings chapter 17 tonight, and I'll go ahead and get right into my message. I realize we've got the Lord's table tonight, and so I'm just going to jump right in and get into the message. Brother Randy was here last week, and so it's been a couple weeks since we were in the study of Elijah. But if you'll remember, I've preached two messages out of the life of Elijah. We're going through his life, and the first message we talked about the days of Elijah, and we looked at how the events leading up to 1 Kings chapter 17, and how the kingdom was divided, and it was a dark day, and they had desecrated the things of God. And And in chapter 17, verse number 1, the Bible says that Elijah stepped on the scene. And we talked about that in the first message. And then in the second message, we talked about the dry place or the drought of Elijah. And tonight, I want to talk about something else that I believe that we're going to see throughout the life of Elijah. And I don't think this will be the last time that we'll see this truth in the story of Elijah. But I don't know that there will be another time where we see it so clearly. And so I want to talk to you tonight about the dependency of Elijah. The dependency of Elijah. I looked up that word dependence, and it means to rest or rely on something or someone else. When we think about, I said dependence, right, with a C. A lot of us, when I say dependence, some of you think about your taxes. Some of you think, man, I just lost a couple dependents, right? And some of you think, man, I got a lot of dependents. What is that? That's people that are relying on you, right? And so you can claim them on your taxes. Some of you say, well, my children are over 18. They don't live under my roof, but I ought to be able to claim them on my taxes. Amen. Because they're still dependent upon me. Well, that's kind of what that word means. It's dependence. It's dependency. It means that you're relying or trusting in someone or something else. And I think we see that in the story that was read to you tonight. And so I want to look at that tonight. I want to look at the dependence of Elijah, the dependency of Elijah tonight in 1 Kings chapter number 17. The first thing I want to look at is the process of dependency. The process of dependency. You know, I believe, look at verse number 17. It says, and it came to pass after these things. I think it's very clear that God wants us to know that this story is connected to the beginning part of 1 Kings chapter 17. You with me? There's some folks that even try to say that this isn't the same widow that it's talking about in verses 8 through 16. I think that's crazy. I think it's obvious as you read this story that I believe it's the same widow. But regardless, God wants us to connect these stories, right? You see that, verse number 17? It came to pass after these things. So he's saying these things that we've already discussed about Elijah, after these things, something else happened. And so I personally believe that all of this is a part of the process of dependency. I believe God is teaching Elijah what it is to depend upon Him. Amen. Now, I believe Elijah already depended upon God. I don't know that Elijah would have stepped on the scene in verse number 1 and went before King Ahab and made that declaration that he made had he not depended upon God. But I do believe that God is using some events in Elijah's life to teach Elijah, you've got to learn to depend upon me. And I don't think this is the last time that Elijah's going to have to learn this lesson. How many of you can testify to the fact that you got to continue to learn some lessons? Amen. You know, if you're honest, and if I'm honest tonight, God will use things in our lives to help us to see how much we need Him. And I really believe that God has been using these events in Elijah's life. I believe God used that divided kingdom, that dark place in which Elijah was living to teach Elijah, Elijah, you can depend upon me. I believe God used the drought and when he was down there by the creek, down by the river, right? I believe God was using the brook. I couldn't think of the biblical term, right? When he was down by the brook, God was teaching Elijah, Elijah, you can depend upon me. And then when the brook dried up and God sent him to Zarephath and there was a famine in the land and God was teaching Elijah, Elijah, you can depend upon me. And God will do that in our lives. God will use some things to help us to see that we can depend upon him. Elijah's about to do a big, big thing. And we know in chapter 18, we're going to look at it here in the next couple of weeks, how that Elijah went and challenged the prophets of Baal. Elijah's getting ready to really step on the public scene. And God's trying to show Elijah in private, Elijah, you can depend upon me, before he shows him in public. And so I think that dependence is a process. I believe God uses things in our lives to teach us this lesson. I want to remind us tonight that sometimes the difficulties that we face are for our good. I know we don't like to think about that. We heard it this morning, didn't we? Fanny Crosby. She didn't see it on the front side. That was not intentional. Okay? She didn't see it on the front side. Stop, Mariah. But she saw it on the back side, right? We don't always see the things. That's terrible. We don't always see the things that are happening when they're happening to us. We don't always understand. But later on down the road, we began to understand. I thought about this, Pastor, when you were talking about that. There's a guy that I read after sometimes that said the greatest thing that ever happened to him outside of salvation was cancer. That's a bold statement. That's a difficult place. But as he talks about how that God used cancer in his life, that difficulty to help him to learn to depend upon God. And so sometimes the difficult places in our life are for our good. And that's a hard truth to swallow, but it's Bible. The Bible says that all things, if we're walking with God, if we're living for God, if our heart is in the right place, the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. And God was using this dark place, this drought that Elijah was going through to show Elijah, to teach Elijah, to prepare Elijah for some things that he was going to face. And I just believe that all this was a process that God was doing in Elijah's life to teach him to depend upon God. And so number one, I see the process of dependency. Number two, and this is really the meat of my message tonight, I want to talk about the prayer of dependency. The prayer of dependency. I see that. I honestly believe God was teaching Elijah some things. The dark place, the drought, now death. And he's teaching Elijah, Elijah, you can depend upon me. And I think we're going to see that in this story. Now, I do want to say this in verse number 18. Look at it. It says, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? This has nothing to do with my message, but I got to say it because I just kept thinking about it when I was studying this. Isn't it interesting how fast people forget? I don't know how long Elijah's been here with this widow. I tend to believe it's been some time. And God's used Elijah to feed this family through a famine. And the first sign of difficulty, and she says, Elijah, did you come here to bring my sin before me and to have my son slain? I thought, man, is that not a picture of us? How soon we forget. As immediately, as soon as things don't go the way that we think they ought to go, all of a sudden, it's you know, she's turned on the man of God. We ought to be careful us. We can't speak for everybody else. We ought to be careful that when difficulties come into our life, that we don't immediately turn on the church or on the people of God. That's what this lady done in this story. And but look at verse number 19. I see how she responded, but look how Elijah responded. It says a lot about Elijah. Look at verse number 19. And he said unto her, Elijah didn't defend himself. At least the Bible doesn't say that he did. Elijah didn't defend himself. He didn't feel sorry for himself. Elijah said to her, verse number 19, it says, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And verse number 20 says, and he cried unto the Lord. I want to talk about the prayer of dependency. I really see in this story where Elijah realizes, I need God. If I'm going to help this family, if I'm going to help this lady, if I'm going to help this child, I need God. I personally believe that Elijah was probably pretty fond of this child. Elijah's been living with this family for some time, and I think this is a young child, the fact that he was laying in his mother's bosom and the fact that Elijah carried him up to the loft. I tend to believe that this is probably a young child that Elijah's carrying. And no doubt Elijah probably cared for this child. He had his own feelings for this child. But Elijah goes to God in prayer for this child and for this family and shows where his dependency is. And so we see the prayer of dependency. I want us to look at this prayer. First thing I want us to see about this prayer is it was a private prayer. Look at what Elijah did. The Bible says, he said in verse 19, he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. You see what Elijah did? Elijah took this child into a private place. Elijah said, I've got to get to God. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, that sounds so elementary, but if we're not careful, you know, we depend on others to pray. That's right. If we're not careful, we'll depend on others to meet needs. If we're not careful, we'll depend on others for answers. But the first place we should go is to God. This woman brings her child to Elijah, and she comes with this problem. She comes with this trial. She comes with this difficulty. And the first thing that Elijah does, Elijah shows us where his dependency is at. Elijah goes to a private place, and Elijah goes and prays to God. Can I tell you, when we come to difficult places in our life, the first place we ought to go is alone with God. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 6, he said, when you pray, he told his disciples there in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, when thou prayest, he said, enter into thy closet, when thou shut the door, pray to your Father which is in heaven. Right? He said, pray to your Father in secret, and thy Father which heareth thee in secret. He said, God's going to hear your prayer. And I just want to challenge you tonight that we need to go to God privately, personally. Now, there's nothing wrong with corporate prayer. There's nothing wrong with asking people to pray. But I just wonder how often we, when we face a difficulty, we go to God by ourselves. Go to a private place. And Elijah is showing where his dependency is. This great man of God, Elijah, is showing where his dependency is. He takes that child up to his room, to a private place, and lays him upon his own bed. And the Bible says that he cries out to God. And I believe that's what we need to do when we face difficulties. We need to go to God personally. We need to go to God privately. And look at this. Not only is it a private prayer, but look at verse number 20. I believe it's a perplexing prayer. Look at verse 20. It says, and he cried unto the Lord. And he said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And what's after that? A question mark. You see it? Elijah's asking God. I don't believe Elijah is accusing God. That's a question. See, if you're not careful, you'll read that as an accusation. I believe if it was an accusation, there'd be a period right there. But it's not a period. It's a question mark because God, Elijah is not accusing God. Elijah is asking God. There's nothing wrong with us asking God. God wants us to ask him. You know, sometimes it's like we feel like, okay, I'm wrong to question God. No, I believe God wants us to question him. Now, I don't think he wants us to question his motives and his heart and what he does, but we don't understand the Bible. I'll give you scripture for it. James chapter 1, I believe it's verse number 5, says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It says, go to God and ask God. And I believe that's what Elijah's doing here. I believe Elijah is going to God, and Elijah's saying, God, I don't understand. He's showing his dependence upon God. He's saying, God, you're going to have to help me. I don't understand. Why, God, would you bring me here to provide for this family? And God, they've given me a place to stay. And this widow, she's been good to me. And this child, I believe Elijah's saying, God, I care about this family. I care about this child. God, why are you allowing this to happen? I don't understand. And sometimes that's the way we got to go to God. I know many of us have. God, I don't understand. God, why are you allowing this to happen to my family? God, why are you allowing this to happen to this person? God, why is this situation the way that it is? I believe Elijah, I want to say that to say this tonight. If there's somebody in here and no doubt, we've even heard some things in the prayer request tonight that would make a person question God. That's okay. That's okay. I know it's kind of quiet, and it's like, you think, are you sure that's okay, Brother David? It's okay. Elijah did it. The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, and he questioned. He didn't understand. And can I tell you, sometimes we're not going to understand, and it's okay to question God. As long as we have the right heart and the right motive, God, I don't understand. God, would you help me to understand? God, would you open my eyes that I might understand what is going on here and why this is happening? I need your help, God. I'm dependent upon you, God, because I can't understand it in me. I think that's what Elijah's saying here. Amen. It's a perplexing prayer. God, I don't understand. God, why would you send me here and then take this child away from me? He's saying, God, I need some answers. And so number one, I see that it was a personal, it was a private prayer. But number two, I believe it was a perplexing prayer. Elijah saying, God, please help me to understand. Number three, I want you to see this. I believe it was a passionate prayer. Look at verse number 20. It says, and he cried unto the Lord and said, look at this, oh Lord, my God. Look at verse 21. He stretched himself upon the child three times, and look at it, and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God. Can't you hear the passion? I mean, as you read that prayer, as I was reading that, I've been really meditating on this passage of scripture for the past couple weeks, and I've read this. I can't tell you how many times I've read these verses 17 through verse 24, and I've been asking God, I've been saying, God, help me to understand. God, I've got to understand. I want to know what you want me to give to your people. There's so many ways we can approach this passage of scripture. And I said, God, I need to understand how you want me to approach it. And as I was reading this passage of scripture over and over and over again, I couldn't help but see Elijah is dependent on God. And I see the passion in his prayers. I read that prayer. Maybe the first time I read it, I didn't read it that way. Maybe the second time I read it, I didn't read it that way. But can I tell you, about the 10th or 15th or 20th time I read this prayer, it's like I could almost feel Elijah saying, oh God. Oh, Lord, my God, I don't understand. God, would you help me? God, would you help me to understand? God, would you do something in this situation? It's a passionate prayer. When was the last time you prayed a passionate prayer? Sometimes our prayers are just so dry. You know why? Because we don't depend on God. We don't like to hear that. But it's just the facts. See, when we get into a place where we realize, I can't do this. I'm relying on something or someone outside of myself, then we began to understand, I need God. I need God. And I believe Elijah understood in this situation, God, I can't help this lady, but you can. And so he prayed a passionate
prayer. The Bible says in James chapter number 1, it says, in James chapter number 5, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's verse 16 of James chapter 5. You know what verse 17 is? Elias. A man of like passions as we are, prayed. And so I don't know if those two verses are connected. I tend to believe that they are. But verse 16 says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man. I believe Elijah understood what it was to pray fervently, to pray passionately. And God help us. God help me to have a passion in my prayer. God help me to have a fervency in my prayer life. God, I need you. God, if you don't do something in this situation, it's not going to get done. God, if you don't open my eyes, God, if you don't help me to understand, I'm not going to understand. God, if you don't save this loved one, God, they're not going to get saved. God, if you don't heal this person's sickness, God, it's not going to get healed. God, if you don't meet this need, it's not going to get met. God, I need you. I think that's what Elijah's saying. He's dependent upon God. And so we see a prayer of dependence. It was a perplexing prayer. It was a passionate prayer. Number four, I got to be careful how I say this. It was a prostrate prayer. It was a prostrate prayer. You say, what do you mean by that? The Bible says he stretched himself upon God. Let me see exactly what it says. Look at verse number 21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times. You say, what does that mean, brother? You know, I read a lot of different commentaries and different opinions. I've heard preaching through the years out of this passage of Scripture. And honestly, there's some interesting explanations, but this is what I believe it is. God, you've got to do something. I'll give you an example. Every night before we go to bed, I was encouraged by this. We, Pastor and myself and Brother Brandon, we were gone last week to the summit up in New Jersey, and God really met with us. It was just a great week. And I come home, and I think it was after I got home, but Meredith said that Wren every night wanted Daddy to pray with her. Said, I want Daddy to pray with me. I was gone for three nights, and she said, I want Daddy to pray with me. Every night before Wren goes to bed, and some of you parents will understand this, but every night before Wren goes to bed, she's in her bed. I'll usually come in there at some point, and I'll just kind of crawl into bed with her, and I'll just kind of lay. She's just a little child, and I'll just kind of hover over top of her, and I'll kind of hug her, lay on top of her, and I'll put my head down on her and say, Daddy's going to pray with you. And I'll have prayer with that little baby, and I'll say, God, please be with Rennie Rue tonight. God, please keep her safe through the night. God, please protect my little baby tonight. And sometimes as I'm praying, I'm talking out loud, but even in my heart, I'm saying things out loud that she's listening to, but I'm in my heart, I'm saying, God, use this child. And I really believe that's what Elijah's doing. I read a lot of interesting reasons why Elijah laid upon that child, but in my personal opinion, I think Elijah realized, God, I need you. I took this. Y'all think I'm crazy. If I didn't think I'd hurt my back trying to get back up off the ground, I'd show you. I took this message this afternoon. You'll think I'm crazy, but all of you already do anyway, so that's all right. Y'all saw me this morning. Y'all already think I'm crazy. I had to come down here to the altar this morning, Pastor. I knew I was going to be doing baptism, and I didn't know if I was going to be in here for the altar call. And I just, during the service, I thought, if I'm going to get out of here before they have an invitation, I got to get down that altar and thank God for all he's done for me. God sure has been good to me. And I don't care what, I told my kids this afternoon, I know sometimes their daddy embarrasses them. I say, get used to it. It only gets worse as you get older, right? It's only going to increase, okay? But I said, I don't do nothing that I do so that somebody will look at me. I just want to worship him. And I don't care if people think I'm crazy. I don't care if people think I'm whatever. I know what's in my heart. And I wanted to get down this altar and get down on my face. And I wanted to tell my God that I am so thankful for what he's done for me and how he saved me and how he's given me a good family and how he's given me a good church and how he's forgiven me of my sin. And I'm not talking about the sin before October. October the 16th, 2005. I'm talking about the sin since October 16th, 2005. He just continuously forgives me of my sin, and he allows me to serve him. And I just wanted to thank him. Amen. And this afternoon, I took these notes right here. I said you'd think I was crazy, so I'm going to tell you why. I took these notes right here, and I laid them in the floor in my office, and I laid down on top of them, Pastor. And I just laid there in my office on my face, and I said, God, take something in this message and use it to help somebody tonight. When was the last time you just fell prostrate on the floor and just said, God, I need you. God, this is bigger than me. I think that's what Elijah's saying. I believe Elijah is laying on that little child. And as I said, I think it's a little child. I'm picturing a small child like my child Emery or Ren, just a little child. And I believe Elijah laid down on that child and in a prostrate position and said, oh God, oh Lord, my God, please do something in this situation. It was a prostrate prayer. I think about David. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 16, it says that he lay all night upon the earth. Remember that story? I know what David did and I know what happened, but I know that God got a hold of David's heart. When David realized what he had done, the Bible says that David went in and he lay all night upon the earth. What was David doing? He was saying, God, I'm the king. I can tell anybody I want in this kingdom to do anything I want them to do, and they will do it. But God, I need you. This situation is bigger than me, the king. I'm dependent upon you. I'm relying upon you. And so here, Elijah, I believe, is in a prostrate prayer. He's saying, God, I need you. I can't do anything about this, but you can. So it was a perplexing prayer. It was a passionate prayer. It was a prostrate prayer. I believe this. It was a persistent prayer. Look at verse number 21. It says, and he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord. I think it's interesting. You know, I've read this story many, many times. I've heard it preached. And in my mind, I've always pictured Elijah coming in there, laying on top of the child or laying, you know, near the child on his bed, laying beside him. I don't know, but I've always pictured Elijah just kind of laying there on that child and then getting up and pacing around and then coming back and laying on that child and then getting up and pacing around and come back and laying on that child. And you know, that may be the way it happened, but it may not be. The Bible doesn't say. I don't know how long Elijah had that child up in that room. I don't know if Elijah laid down on that child and prayed and said, oh, God, would you please help me to understand? God, why is this happening? And then Elijah got up and he may have walked around that room. He may have went and sat in his chair. He may have began to pray in his own way or in his own place. And the Bible doesn't say how long Elijah prayed. All the Bible says is that Elijah prayed 3 times. It makes me think of the psalmist when he said, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And Daniel, the Bible says he went into his chamber as he did 3 times a day, and he kneeled upon his knees and he prayed to God. I don't know if Elijah was up there all day. I don't know if he was up there all night. I'm not sure how long Elijah prayed, but I know this, it was a persistent prayer. Elijah said, God, I need you to do something, and I'm not giving up. And I'm just here to challenge you tonight and encourage you tonight. If you've been praying for something, God's really been speaking to me as I've been studying this and meditating. I thought I was going to preach it last Sunday night, and Brother Randy came. So I've been 2 weeks I've been thinking about this. And I'll just be honest with you, I've got some lost people in my family that I've been praying for 18 years. And if I'm not careful, I'll lose my passion. And I've been this week, as I've been reading this story and as I've been meditating upon it, God's been reminding me, son, don't you lose that passionate prayer. Son, you just keep being persistent. You just keep coming back and you just keep crying out, I can meet your need. I can save your loved one. I can fix your marriage. I can bring your child back home again. I don't know what your need is tonight, but I'm telling you, we've got a God that can meet needs. And he's looking for his people to rely upon him. And I believe Elijah is showing, God, I need you. I'm dependent upon you. And God helped me to depend upon him. And so it was a passionate prayer. It was a prostrate prayer. It was a persistent prayer. And then last, and this will be the last thing I say about the prayer, it was a particular prayer. Look at verse 21. It says, he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, oh, Lord, my God, I pray thee, look at this, let this child's soul come into him again. As far as I can tell, nobody has ever been resurrected before. So Elijah's not praying something that somebody else has prayed. But he gets particular in this prayer. He tells God exactly what he wants God to do. You know, sometimes we're so, and maybe I'm just confessing or my faults this evening, maybe it's not yours. You know, sometimes we're so broad in our prayers. God, I want you to do that. God, would you bless my family? How? God, would you do this? Or God, would you do that? I think Elijah, he goes and he says, God, I mean, he gives God a particular prayer. And I'm not talking about name it, claim it, but I'm just telling you this. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about the creation and talking about how the herb yielding fruit and all that. And I told my Sunday school class, I said, it had to be a tomato plant. Like one of the first plants in the garden had to be a tomato plant. I mean, a garden tomato is delicious. Can I get an amen on a garden tomato is delicious? And I said, man, it's got to be a tomato. I said, I tell you right now, I said, I don't know what's going on, but I haven't had anybody give me a tomato yet this year. I said, usually by this time, I'm turning them away. I got them rotting on my counter. I said, I ain't got the first tomato. Hey, I walked into church tonight, and there is a box of tomatoes. Hey, don't be running out after the service and beating me out there. And I'm just playing. I already grabbed a couple. There is a box of tomatoes out there underneath the TV screen. Brother Jimmy's grandson walked up to me. I grabbed a couple tomatoes out of the box and was heading out to my van to stick them in the van. I got to put them in my pocket. I thought I'd get excited. I'd be like, squid, I have tomato juice. But I was taking that tomato out to my van, and I was walking across the parking lot. Here comes Brother Jimmy's grandson. He was in my Sunday school class this morning. He walks up with a bag full of tomatoes and says, Brother David, you said you wanted some tomatoes in Sunday school this morning. Here's some tomatoes. And then I thank Maggie. Where's Maggie? Is she in here? I think Maggie says she's got some tomatoes for me. I'm telling you right now, you have not because you ask not. Every now and then, we just need to get particular in our prayers. We need to tell God what we need. Amen. And get particular about it. God, I want you to do this. And God, I'm asking you, if you would, to meet this need. And God, I've even started to pray that way about some lost loved ones. This past week, it's amazing, Brother Allen. It's amazing how God works. We were at the summit this past week, and I've been meditating on this passage of Scripture. And I told Pastor, I said, I think I'm preaching on prayer Sunday night. And I've been thinking about my mom and my dad, and I've been praying, God, move and do something in their life. And I come home from the summit, and Brother Allen called me and said, I was over visiting Miss Nora, and I thought, I'm right here next to your parents' house. And he said, so me and Sharon rode over, and we seen your parents. And he said, I stood on the porch and talked with your dad and told me about how good of a conversation I had, invited him to a Glory Days event. And I believe Meredith couldn't believe it. She said, he told Brother Allen, he said, I'm not going to make no promises. I can tell you right now, that's the best response anybody's ever got. Okay? I'm not going to make no promises, Brother Calvin. That's a good response, ain't it? Brother Calvin's talked to him a lot. I'm not going to make no promises is a big deal. And can I tell you, it was God answering a particular prayer. Sometimes we just got to go to God and say, God, this is what I want you to do. And that's what Elijah said. Elijah said, God, I'm asking you to do something that I can't do. But God, I know you can. Would you raise this child up? And God raised that child up. And so we see the prayer of dependency. And then last, and I'm going to finish. I'm not going to preach this. The product of dependency. You say, what happens? What happens when we have a dependency and we pray that way, leaning on God and trusting in God? Well, verse number 22 says this, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. That right there ought to get you excited. And the Lord heard the voice of David. And the Lord heard the voice of Jimmy. And the Lord heard the voice of Leah. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came unto him again. And look at it. And he revived. You don't know what the product of a dependency, a prayer of dependency is? Revival. God will revive things. God can revive your life. God can revive your family. God can revive that one that I said is a prodigal that's gone out and it appears that they're just never going to come back home again. God can revive that situation. He was revived, and there's a reviving. And not only that, there's a reuniting. Look at verse number 23. Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. There is a reuniting. There is a reunion. And as I said, you see, when we go to God in prayer, depending upon God, God can revive some things. God can reunite some things in our lives, some things that have gotten off track, some things that have gotten divided. God can reunite those things. There was a reuniting. Not only that, there was rejoicing. I don't see it in the text, but I'm just telling you, I believe there was some rejoicing. Amen. I believe there was some rejoicing. I believe this lady probably got excited when Elijah said, ma'am, here's your son. You know that son that you had that you were holding in your bosom that was dead? Here he is alive. And I bet there was some rejoicing. I keep going back to that prodigal. I was reading this and I was thinking about that prodigal. And that father said, my son whom was dead, my son who was gone, he's back home again. Amen. He said, hey, go get the fatted calf. Go get my best robe. My son, he's back home again. We're going to rejoice. Can I tell you that's what prayer will do? There'll be some reviving. There'll be some reuniting. There'll be some rejoicing. And then last, I believe there should be some reassurance. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says this. It says, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Look back at verse number, I want you to see this. Look at verse 18. It's almost as if she was questioning that. Verse 18, she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? But verse number 24, she says, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know. I know that thou art the man of God. I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. She said, Elijah, your God's God. I don't know exactly what she was talking about when she said the word in your mouth is truth. Probably talking about that it's going to rain again. I think Elijah's probably been telling this widow, ma'am, this ain't going to last forever. When God tells me to, I'm going up to Ahab, and I'm going to tell him, Ahab, it's about to rain again. And that woman probably was sitting there thinking, I don't know about that, Elijah. You mean you're going to decide when it rains again? And now all of a sudden, after this event, she says, I know of a truth. I know of a truth. I have got reassurance that thou art a man of God and that the word in thy mouth is truth. Can I tell you, when we go to God in dependency and prayer and we ask God to do some things and God does what we ask him to do, you know what it does? It gives us reassurance. It reminds us of something we already know. Most everybody in this room knows who God is. He's already revived your dead soul. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and he saved you, and he breathed life into you, and now you're a child of the king, and you're saved. But if you're not careful, you'll kind of go along life, and you'll begin to forget actually how good God is and how powerful God is and what God can do, but then God will bring something into your life that'll drive you to prayer and to dependency upon Him, and God will meet that need, and you'll get that reassurance, that reminder that He is God. And there's nothing too hard for the Lord. That woman got some reassurance. She said, I know Elijah. I should have already known. He's been feeding her with a barrel that was empty. But she forgot. How soon we forget. God been taking care of us all these years, and one little trial comes along, and we think God doesn't care anymore, and God's lost His power, and God can't do anything, and then all of a sudden, God shows, hey, I'm still here, I'm still powerful, and I still can do anything. Elijah was dependent upon God, the product of dependency. I hope you're dependent on Him. I sure know I am. I told God before I preached this message, God, if anybody gets any help tonight, you're going to have to do it, because I know I can't. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask the pianist to come to the piano, if you would, and I'm going to turn the invitation over to the pastor here in a moment. We'll have the Lord's table. So the altars are open, the pianist is playing, and